Christian Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Braving Change, Release the Past, Welcome Growth, and Trust Where God is Leading You by Andy Andrew. Narrated by Andy Andrew. To the wounded and healing warriors, hope-filled helpers, dedicated disciples, passionate peacemakers, and loving yet limping leaders, this book is for you. Stay in the race. Paul, there's no one else I'd rather brave the changes of life with. Even on our darkest days, I'm safe with you. You have consistently shown me the love of Jesus, and it has changed me for the better. I'm confident to face every twist and turn that comes our way because I'll be facing them beside you. Also, to Tanya and Kaylee, you know why. There aren't enough pages in this world to dedicate this book to you both adequately. So for now, I'll just say it again. Thank you. Introduction. When you hear the word change, what runs through your mind? Do you batten down the hatches and prepare for the worst? Do you catastrophize and go down unhelpful rabbit holes? Do you map out how you can control every outcome and every person? Or are you an adventurer who loves to sail the seas of change? Maybe even a chaser of change for another adrenaline hit? Or perhaps you're running from something, making tangible changes like moving to a new state or changing jobs because it seems like the lesser evil rather than addressing what needs to be dealt with. No matter the lens you look through when you view change, endings, and transitions, the absolute truth is that God is stable and constant in and through every moment of time. He is our rock. And spiritually speaking, wind, waves, and storms are promised. They will hit us. And when they do, we'll find out just what we've built our lives on. Change is inevitable. Take getting older, for example. Why does my body succumb to the gravitational pull when my spirit feels like it just keeps getting younger? Why do the frown lines get deeper and the laugh lines more defined? What about our kids? I've become the person who now tells new parents unsolicited, "Don't blink, it just goes so fast." I often think of my parents, who have heard their stage of life called the sunset years likened to a season of gazing out, taking in the beauty of a day's end, while at the same time battling natural fears that arise, knowing death is closer than it used to be. What about changes in our relationships? How come it seems like we never graduate from those high school feelings of trying to fit in and find our people? Oh, and then there's the unrelenting newsfeed, swirling into the center of our households, thrashing at us like currents of untamed water as we try to grip onto something, anything, unsure as to whether we may drown in the cultural tide or get stronger and swim against it. I could go on. As I begin to write this book, it's the first day of my eldest son's senior year. I'm sitting here taking a moment to myself in the early hours of the morning to write out my thoughts and big feelings before the whirlwind of lunch making, breakfast eating, and morning conversations. This will most likely be followed by my yelling, "Hurry up and get in the car!" before that swift yet laden with opportunity for connection school run is in progress. This is a year of change for our family. Again. I'll probably look back and read these words in the years to come and take a deep breath, remembering the highs and the lows of this transitional year. Hopefully, I'll reflect, learn, grow, apologize, encourage myself, and celebrate the goodness of God amid a life truly lived, with all its nuance, including the mundane, climactic, painful, joy-filled, shocking, and even forgettable moments. This isn't our first rodeo when it comes to change, and I'm sure you have experienced many changes as well. You might be smack dab in the middle of a joyful or painful transition in life that you didn't see coming, or you could be in the midst of making some big decisions, choosing change that is going to alter the course of your life. Or maybe you've suffered a loss that has broken your heart and you're left wondering how to pick up the pieces and move forward. Wherever you find yourself at this present moment, there's a high probability that you're listening to this book because you're either in the midst of braving change and need a friend to walk alongside you, or about to embark on something new and looking for a field guide to bring along on the journey. The truth is, life is full of change. Good change, painful change, disappointing change, national change, hope-filled change, uncomfortable change, natural change, political change, necessary change, traumatic change, joy-filled change, shocking change, and of course, desired change. Change is constant. And if I've learned anything along the path of life, it's that change and transition can be wonderful teachers, shaping and molding us more into the likeness of Christ. We can grow through them and rise above them, or they can take us out. Braving change is part of life. While the earth remains, kingdoms will continue to rise and fall. There will be wars and rumors of wars. Unstoppable pain and tragedy will ravage our fallen world, coupled with triumphant stories of hope and renewal. Our news feed will not cease until Christ returns, nor will the social commentary that comes with it. The expanding and contracting taking place on earth, the pruning, cutting off, shaking, and awakening feel like persistent labor pangs overwhelming the senses, often causing us to either fight, fly, freeze, or fawn. We live in the now, but not yet. Jesus has come to give us life and life to the full, but the enemy still prowls around like a roaring lion on our broken planet, seeking whom he may devour. Death still wreaks havoc on earth, but we are in covenant with the life giver, living in the tension of pain, but anchored in a hope that does not disappoint us or put us to shame. And the beautiful thing is, we can grow and still live a fruitful life in and through it all. So how do we come out of the rubble of overwhelm and disappointment that endings and transition can bring? How do we continue to move forward and stay in love with Jesus? How do we release the past, welcome growth, and still choose to love others? How do we hold on to hope no matter what life throws our way? How do we rise above and allow the unending turmoil around us to shape and mold us more into the likeness of Christ instead of letting it take us out? How do we trust where God is leading us when nothing looks like it used to? The crescendo of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7 speaks deeply to me every time I read it. Jesus is concluding one of the most, if not the most, pivotal sermons ever preached, ushering in the new covenant. He doesn't abolish the law or the prophets, but fulfills them by his every word and deed, Matthew 5:17. He breaks down what it is to faithfully surrender our lives and follow him in the way, from the Beatitudes to entering through the narrow gate and everything in between. Then Jesus finishes with these words, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." Matthew 7:24 through 27. Jesus' words still cry out to our hearts today. Don't just listen and merely hear my words. Live them, embody them, practice them, build your life on them, on the rock. Because change is a coming, friend, and it won't stop until his kingdom fully comes and his will is completely done here on earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 7:24 through 27 will be an anchor scripture on the journey we're about to embark on together. So go ahead and dig deep into the whole of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 through 7 to gain greater richness and understanding throughout our time together. The word is clear, and the human experience proves time and time again that we're going to walk through tests and trials. But will we build on shifting sands that will wash away when the storms come? Or will we build our lives on Christ? In this book, we're going to bravely face the changes we're in, have gone through, are trying to avoid, or are about to embark on. We're not going to look away, evade, deny, or try to control what's happening around us because we already know that we can't. We can, however, make wise, informed, surrendered, biblical decisions as we move through change one step at a time. We're also going to dig deep and meditate on a key scripture in each chapter and then reflect on different questions that require responses. These scriptures and questions are an opportunity to get practical and map out some different choices we can make that will help us navigate the waters of change with more grace, trust, maturity, and hopefully more humility because God knows we need it. Finally, I'll add a guided prayer at the end of each chapter for you to pray out loud as a jumping off point to go deeper in your relationship with God. My prayer for you is the same as the Apostle Paul's was for the Ephesians. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and how long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Ephesians 3:14-21. You are not alone. You are deeply loved more than you know. May we grow in strength by the power of the Holy Spirit together as we allow the constant change around us to bring Christ-like change within us. May God's grace be upon you as you begin again. Building on the Rock. Scripture Meditation, Matthew 7:24-27. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Take some time to meditate on this key scripture. Write down in a journal what stands out to you and why. I strongly encourage reading the entirety of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 through 7 for the context of our key verse. Then write out Matthew 7:24-27 to meditate on it even more deeply. Reflection questions. When you hear the word change, what runs through your mind? How have you coped with or walked through major or minor changes in the past, and what are you hoping to get out of this book? Guided prayer. Father, at the start of this journey with you, I intentionally surrender all and choose to trust you. I make a conscious choice to let go of control and ask that you would lead the way. Holy Spirit, teach my heart and remind me of all truth as I navigate the changes I am walking through. Jesus, thank you for showing me the way to live, no matter what is going on around me. You truly are the way, the truth, and the life that leads me to the heart of the Father. Chapter 1. The Change We Think We Want. What distinguishes the wise from the foolish? Their foundation. When the storm comes, the wise remain standing. Bob Sorge. I love people watching on airplanes, especially when the pilot says for the seventh time, "Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry to inform you that we're going to be delayed a bit longer. Air traffic control has informed us that we are not cleared for takeoff." Groans emerge from every direction. People begin texting wildly or making urgent, frustrated phone calls. And if I'm lucky, I'll get to watch someone go off and give an innocent flight attendant who has no control over the delay a piece of their ever-loving mind. I only wish each and every one of you could have been there to see my husband put his foot down and silence an unsuspecting woman from her tirade in the midst of a very long delay. This woman's sass was ruining the atmosphere for everyone within earshot. On this particular trip, my husband and I had gotten complimentary upgrades to first class. Yes, we were separated because they were complimentary, but I could easily smile and wave at him from my seat across the aisle. I settled in, put my feet up, accepted every snack and drink the flight attendants were offering, covered myself in my cozy blanket, and started a movie. When said woman began her tirade, my husband only gave short glances her way to begin with. You know the ones that non-verbally say, what are you doing? Social skills, please. Read the room. Nope. His irritated head turns weren't working. Every time the baby from the row in front of her made a sound, this woman stood up and made loud groaning sounds, terrifying the parents trying to soothe their newborn, causing them to do the big bounce sumo squat style, working out their glutes and quads in an effort to keep their baby calm so that this woman didn't unleash her wrath on them. She began yelling like a schoolyard bully at the flight attendants in her purview. "You guys are lying to us. What's really going on? Tell us why we're delayed. I want to speak to the pilot now. I need a Xanax." Her husband sunk lower and lower in his seat, communicating without words. "I'm not even with her," though we all know he was. My husband's glances her way began to get longer, his drawn-out, frustrated breath slower and deeper. Not to mention, his furrowing brow became more defined with each look. I started to giggle to myself, knowing what she had coming. So I picked up my popcorn and took off one headphone so I could simultaneously hear my movie and watch my husband do what he was about to do. "Okay. That's enough." Flight attendant stops, looks shocked, then relieved. Phones slowly lift into the air to record. Said woman is offended that someone would speak to her. I'm pretty sure her favorite quote is, "They whispered to her, 'You cannot withstand the storm.' And she whispered back, 'I am the storm.'" She gathers herself, looks at my husband. He continues, "You are more stressful than this delay." The woman stumbles over the words that she's trying to pull from her brain to unleash out of her mouth. The words trip out of her. "Well," as her husband looks the other way, obviously longing to disappear, "could you imagine being married to me?" To which my husband categorically replies, because I'm sitting right there, "No, I could not." Flight attendant releases the tension in her shoulders, looks to my husband and mouths, "Thank you." Stressful woman takes her Xanax, falls asleep, and blesses the plane with peace for the duration of the flight. The Lord spoke to me through that hilarious, overly dramatic situation in first class. We are that woman. We cry out for change in our lives. We run to the altar. We ask others to pray for us. We want a new season. We want Jesus to fix it. And then when God begins to move on our prayers, or when it seems that things are delayed, we reject all reason and begin to yell and shake our fist at the heavens. "Not this way. I mean, I know I asked for you to change my life, and I sang, I surrender all, last week in worship. But really, I'm partially surrendered, and you already know this because you're God. Can't you just bless my blueprint? Can you just take a look at my plans and voila, make them happen? I mean, I know you're not a genie in a bottle, but maybe you can make an exception today? When we act like this, we might as well put on an entitled brat Veruca Salt accent, Willy Wonka reference for those wondering, and say, I want it, and I want it now, Daddy. We're destroying the atmosphere around us when we're the one who asks God to change our life and take us from point A to point B. This is not it. This is not a surrendered life given fully to Jesus. Listen, there is change we think we want, but when the vehicle for transformation shows up on our doorstep, e.g., things start shifting around us, or people leave, or the obvious grace to complete even a difficult task or assignment lifts, or we get fired, or a pandemic hits, or we move cities, or we get sick, or we lose a loved one unexpectedly, or national unrest and division confront us. What do we do? Do we start to fight anyone in proximity? Do we go into flight mode and pretend it's not happening, disappearing into a happy place in our mind or self-medicating? Do we freeze, unable to make any rational decisions in order to move forward and make progress? Or do we fawn, pleasing, appeasing, and pacifying anyone in our vicinity in order to keep ourselves safe from further perceived harm or unrest? For the sake of the illustration, airplanes are vehicles of transition and change. They take us from where we are to where we're going, and in the long, drawn-out, sometimes filled with delays, middle is where we get to see what we're made of, whether we like it or not. They simply show us what comes out of us when we can't fully control what's going on around us, e.g., weather delays or other unruly, annoying passengers who put their elbows on your armrest, chew with their mouth open, snore loudly on your shoulder, or don't discipline their disobedient children. Am I or are you that woman? Pause and reflect before we move forward. First, where have you either, one, cried out for change and it's happening in a way you wouldn't have chosen or seen coming, two, been surprised by change but you're moving with it and through it, or three, absolutely didn't ask for change. You're in the middle of it and you're still in shock. Second, like the woman on the airplane, in what ways are you possibly coping or self-protecting? Before we move ahead, take some time to ride out where you're at. New seasons. We're suckers for new things. New trends, new shows, new material things, you name it. If we're not careful, this sneaks into our Christianity as materialism and entitlement. Yet, there's a dichotomy we live in as believers, where the word states that there is nothing new under the sun, Ecclesiastes 1:9, and that God makes all things new, or that he's doing a new thing, Isaiah 43:19. I mean, we love the idea of new seasons, don't we? God clearly uses earthly seasons as a type and shadow of what takes place in our lives when we live on planet Earth. While the Earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Genesis 8:22, ESV. So when we step into a new season, whether that's a new job, a new city, a new relationship or friendship, new depths in our intimacy with God, obedience in our calling, a new adventure, getting married, having children, or whatever you have named, we can often be taken aback by the pathway laid out before us. Because in our hearts, we've already planned out our own way, but the Lord has been determining our steps and continues to do so. Proverbs 16:9. His perspective is vaster than we can imagine, and it's eternal whether we perceive it or not. Israel cried out for deliverance, for a new season in their promised land as God's chosen people. I'm not sure they saw Moses coming or would have chosen him as their leader and deliverer. You know, the Hebrew boy who was rescued by Pharaoh's daughter in the middle of a genocide as he floated down the river in a basket. He grew to become a man in the very palace that oppressed his own people, but he was separate from them, lacking any understanding of what it was to be under the heavy weight of slavery. And then, in Moses' first documented public move to stand up for his people, he murdered an Egyptian who was beating one of his own. They in turn rejected his help, calling him a murderer, because he was, and causing him to flee to Midian to live in exile for 40 years. It was in the place of exile that God spoke to him through the burning bush, telling him to go back to Egypt and deliver his people. Exodus 2-3. The assignment given to him was not an easy one. We read that for 40 years, Moses' people raged against his leadership, and ultimately the plan of God, when God was in the midst of answering their prayers to be delivered from their oppressors. It seems to me that they wanted it to be done another way, and often were the same. We long for the days of old while asking for something new at the same time, choosing stubbornness instead of surrender. In Exodus 16:1-4, the Israelites complain about how God is delivering them into their new season. They set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by our meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not." ESV. This passage is rich and worthy of reflection. Funnily enough, I can remember reading it while on a plane on my way to a speaking engagement. My husband and I were in the middle of a transition, and God clearly spoke to me through his word, then whispered, "Andy, you've cried out for me to change your life, and I am. But now all you're doing is complaining about what you don't have in this new season. You're crying out for your figurative meat pots when I want to deliver you and give you your promised land. You get to choose how you walk this out." Do you love a good wake-up call like this? I am always so grateful for a loving warning. The truth of the matter is, God said that he was about to provide food for the Hebrew people by raining down bread from heaven. God has bread from heaven for us, but as long as we hunger for the meat pots of the past, it's hard to see and feast on God's goodness and provision in the present. We're comfortable with the meat pots of the past because at least they were predictable, reliable even. Yet somewhere deep down, we also know that staying enslaved to our past and pain is dangerous and detrimental, not just to us, but also to those around us. If we want something new, we'll surely come face to face with ourselves in the desert seasons like the Israelites did, understanding the areas of our lives where we need to be healed, strengthened, encouraged, and changed, because there will be giants to confront in the new land God desires to give us. If we genuinely want something new, transitional seasons are essential to form our character for what is needed in the weeks, months, and years to come. Didn't see that coming. Have you ever said the words, "I didn't see that coming"? Yeah, me too. You'd think I would have learned by now to keep my mouth shut. Here's a little timeline of breadcrumbs that the Lord kindly left for me to help me see that coming. Day after Christmas, 2019. After our basement flooded due to a crack in the foundation, I was standing in the water trying to sop it up with all the towels we had in our house, and I heard the Lord say, "I'm fixing the cracks and leaks in the foundation of the church." I took a deep breath and side-eyed the Lord, with countless questions coming to mind. More on this prophetic word later in chapter 5.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?